الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال تعالى: إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. وقال تعالى: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. There was this lady in Egypt, a muallima, teaching in a madrasa in a maktab. Maybe about 12, 18 months ago she passed away. But one ayat of the Quran, as it happens with many people, just have a great impact on a person. For her, the ayat, وَإِلَيْكَ وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. Oh Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah Ta'ala, Oh Allah, I've rushed to come to you to please you. When Allah Ta'ala asked him about the condition of the people he left behind, he said, I've rushed to you to please you. So the meaning of this, that a person eager, always moving forward, wanting to please Allah Ta'ala. And he wants to do those amal. So particularly what effect it has had on her, that her namazes, as soon as azan goes, she would go and make her namaz. She would leave all her work, whatever she could be involved in, she will just stop it. And she will go and make her namaz first. And may Allah let us all learn that lesson. As man also, when adhan goes, then it is namaz. Everything else must be put one side. When adhan goes, it is permissible that a person engages in dini works done. Like he's giving a bayan, he's teaching in a madrasa, he's doing some dini work. But the better even for them is that they can stop that work. When adhan goes, then it must be now namaz and nothing else. And this 15, 20 minutes fajr time most of the masjids have, it's hardly really enough if a person wants to go toilet, make his istinja, come in the masjid, the sunnats which are before namaz. If you want to do it nicely, you just about manage it. So there's really no time to waste. So Allah give us tawfiq. So this was her nature. So on one occasion, and it was her practice with her husband, that from work he should phone her and tell her, I would like to eat this today, I would like this, then she would prepare it. So one day he phoned and he said, I would like to have something like we have spring rolls, something like that. A beetroot leaf with some rice fillings, etc. And then fried in oil. So she prepared it and she was frying them. Now about three were left to be fried and adhan went. She stopped everything. She went for her namaz. So he was still phoning her from on his way back home, and no, she's not replying. Came home, came in the house, made salam, no reply, looking where she is, found her, she's busy with namaz. So he's getting a bit angry, and like it happens, a person speaks at that time, you only had this little bit of work, you could finish that and then make your namaz. But she's not replying, she was in sajda. Then afterwards, if see, she's not just picking up her head, she was gone to Allah Ta'ala already. So just every time, just fulfilling the command, what a Mubarak mort Allah gave her. If she was still frying, she was in the khidmat of her husband, that was also an ibadah. But this is such a greater ibadah. So Allah give us tawfiq always for namaz, salat. As soon as the time comes in for when adhan goes, then we make our namaz. Woman also at home, when it is when adhan goes, we should try and stop everything and go and make our namaz first. This is a very great quality which Allah will love very, very much. And all this that we have to do for the great blessings of taqwa, that Allah gives rosy from sources unknown, Allah opens doors for us. On namaz, Allah Ta'ala will give us our rosy. We have to do Allah's work. All that, our niyat must be for the pleasure of Allah, not for that rosy. And not that Allah will open doors of rosy and from sources unknown. If that is our niyat, then it will be difficult to get the result. Because we are doing it, as we know, that a great alim also, qari, a great mujahid also, a wealthy person who spent his money left, right and center in the path of Allah, but they didn't do it for the pleasure of Allah. Then what is the condition? So all this, we must do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and not for this material benefit. Though they are there, but we should do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Example of this, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, gives a very beautiful example. If you have got a little garden and you need fertilizer, and then you go and buy a cow, perhaps in our times, what, 15,000, 20,000 rand a cow, whatever the price might be, for fertilizer, he says that will be quite a stupid and foolish act. You're spending so much money because you'll get fertilizer from the cow. You can just go and buy fertilizer. Buy the cow, but with the need that you'll get fresh milk. And pure milk you will get. And the fertilizer will have to come. Where is the cow going to go if it's not going to take out its dung? It has to, that will come by the way. But don't make that small thing your object and your niyat. Make the big benefit your niyat. So make the pleasure of Allah our niyat, and these other benefits will come by the way. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we do everything solely and only for the pleasure of Allah, and all this what we have been taught in deen, we have to persist. Allah knows in His time when He's going to give, what He gives to whom. Many times a person, Mufti Ibrahim Salih Jisab, Damat Barakatum, explained here, one time he was at Jeddah airport, and one, perhaps some brothers still know him, Ovi Mota, was a very strong Jamaat worker, very close with Haji Bhai Padia. He was pacing up and down there at the check-in place. So I asked him, what's wrong? He says, those days wasn't like today, our tickets. He said, I got my ticket. I had it reconfirmed twice. It is 100%. But when I'm going to the counter, they're just not taking my ticket. They're just rejecting. And normally with the Arabs is a famous thing. Once he says no, for him to say yes after that is almost an impossibility. So Mufti Sahib said, let me try. So he went, he presented, and he explained, he has a reconfirmation sticker also, everything. But he said, no is no, nothing. So then, now, Ovi Mota, marhum, he was pacing up and down. Then after some time, announcement was made that it was a PIA flight from Jeddah to Karachi, and over Riyadh, the plane crashed. And all who were on board, all were killed, they all died. So then he realized that we think that, and how much du'as he must have been making. Mufti Ibrahim Salih Jisab Rahmatullah Dhamid Barakatuh says, I was also making du'a for him. So du'as, how Allah knows what is to give us, when to give us. So that he just blankly refused for no reason apparent. What Allah wanted to save himself, his life was still longer. So Allah Ta'ala saved him. So we have to keep on making our effort. And the salat, Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say many times in the Mashurat that come, let us all get together and we try and bring alive one aspect of deen. At least namaz comes 100% in the ummah. All of us making namaz and proper namaz also, correct namaz. And we don't have control over anyone else. You don't have control over your children also. You can enforce and that. But you haven't got control. They do what they want to. You haven't control over the husband, over the wife. Nobody got control over one another. But ourselves, at least we ourselves, we make this effort that namaz in my life must come alive 100%. That each one of us can do. And we don't have to blame anyone. And we can't find excuses with anyone. Each one of us make the niyat that namaz must come alive in my life. And it must come alive 100%. All my namazes in quantity also, outward postures also must be correct. And then inwardly, my concentration, devotion also. And if I've got any qadai umri, that also I will fulfill. I become 100% a namazi. And if a person does this, then everything else, inshallah, will just fall in place. On one occasion, in the Markaz Nizamuddin, in the time of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, there the system was, their system, all people got different systems. When they should eat, then the water, the jug of water and the glass should not be put under the dasturkhan. Somebody used to walk around with it, and anyone wanting water will just make a sign to him, and then he will give him water to drink. So this person who was giving the water offering, the glass from his hand fell down. So Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi looked up at him and told him, it looks like your namaz is still not correct. If your namaz was correct, then this glass shouldn't have fallen from your hand. So from there we learned that if namaz is correct, then your whole deen will be corrected. When your deen will be corrected, your dunya will be corrected. Your akhirat will be corrected. If we learn to make namaz, be disciplined, come properly, on time, before time, make our namazes properly, we'll see everything else will fall in place also. On one occasion, it was here in the Darul Uloom, on a Sunday, there was a nikah. So they asked me to perform the nikah and to say a few words. And Allah put this in my mind at that time. And if we learned later from our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also, that make dua to Allah that He gives you that which is the most beneficial for that time and for the people who have come at that time. Make that dua and then leave it to Allah. Let Allah Ta'ala now guide you what you want to speak. Hadrat should hardly ever, sometimes when there was some important thing, then he should make a note what I have to speak on. But otherwise, he just left it to Allah Ta'ala, that whatever. And the reality also is that when there is sincerity in the speaker and sincerity in the listeners also, Allah puts in the speaker's mouth those words which is required by the listeners. But if they are also sincere, we want to learn deen, we want to improve ourselves, then according to them, and we'll find many, many times brothers come, that today that bayan was just for me. All the questions I had in my mind, they all got answered. So if that is in the case of the listeners also, and the speaker also is sincere, not that he's got one subject, and whatever the need is, and we are speaking about something else. People might be wanting clothes, and we are giving them food one way. People might want a need of food, and we are just giving them clothes all the time. So what the need is, if the sincerity is there, Allah Ta'ala blesses us with such subjects. And then we understand it also accordingly, then to make amal also. Because what we wanted, we got. And if we got what we didn't want, what we didn't need, then also it's just like superfluous. It just goes by. So anyway, that time then Allah put it in my mind, and I said that in namaz, so it was a nikah bayan. But I said in namaz, if a person performs his namaz and in a standing position, he looks where he has to look, that is at the sajda place. When he's in ruku, he looks at his feet. And when he's in sajda, he focuses. You can't see, though the nose is right under the eyes, but we can't see our eyes. But you focus on the tip of your nose. Don't close your eyes in sajda. That's also a common thing with us, that we close our eyes when we are... Many of us, the whole namaz, we keep our eyes closed. That's against the sunnah. On one occasion, Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, also did amali practical namaz for his mureedin. One of them went to his room and he was practicing now. Then he slept away and he saw his hurul een of Jannat, but she was blind. So he asked Hazrat about it. So Hazrat said, looks like you made your namaz with your eyes closed. He said, yes. He asked why. He said, for more concentration. He says, the sunnat is even higher than concentration. Sunnat is to keep your eyes open. Don't close your eyes. So anyway, so if we keep our eyes focused on the tip of the nose when in sajda, and in a sitting position, we look in our lap. And when we are making salam, then on our shoulder. Though, if we are making namaz in with jamaat, our niyat must be for all who are on that side, the right side, the left side, but our eyes mustn't see all. Our eyes must be just focused on the shoulder. Don't even see who's the person next to you. Like we've got the watches on the two sides, while making salam, don't check the time also. That is also not in your... You have to focus on your shoulder. If you want to see the time, when you finish your salam, then you can see your time, what you want to. But in namaz, don't. Many of us are such also, that when we're making salam also, then we turn this way, but we move a little front in front, and see who came today. Our work is not to take roll call, that who's here for Fajr today, who's not here, that's not our work. That Malakul Maut does that. Every namaz time he takes roll call. And who are present for namazes, he at the time of Maut, Malakul Maut himself makes talqeen, tell them read Kalima-i-Shahadat. And he makes them read Kalima-i-Shahadat before they pass away. So if you are regular with Jamaat namaz, one great, great benefit, which even if just for that we do it, to get Kalima-i-Shahadat at the time of Maut, what a great thing. So we shouldn't look who's here and who's not here. Also, when we make salam, while we are on that subject, which is also very important, then when we make salam, you should sit on your normal position as you are sitting in the attahiyat, in the qaada position. Don't move front when making salam. And don't go back. Like many drivers, when they are driving, and they want to overtake, and there's a narrow gap, they also go front. By you going front, your car is not going to go faster. And you're not going to fit in that gap there. And many of our drivers are such also, when we turn to the right, they also turn this way. You don't have to turn, you stay in your place. And when you turn to the left, you don't have to turn this way. You don't have to move, you stay in your place. The same thing with Adhan. When the Muazzin says, Hayya ala salah, and Hayya ala al-Falah, he must remain in his place. Chest must remain facing Qibla. The neck must move. Turn with your neck. Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-Falah, Hayya ala al-Falah. So with salam also, we should remain. And we should focus our eyes on our shoulder. And make niyat if we are in Jamaat, for all who are on the right, we make the niyat. All on the left. And if we are directly behind the Imam, both sides we make niyat for the Imam. And what niyat must we make? What niyat must we make when making salam? Yeah, but what for what? What is the niyat? Salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And see namaz, what a gift, what a treasure, how valuable it is. Malaika are so great. Pure. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما is so great. But you made your two rakats namaz. You are still what you are. But your namaz now, Allah made you. You are making dua of salamati and rahmat for the malaika. If you are making alone namaz. Because your niyat is only the kiram and katibin. And in all your namazes, first is the kiram and katibin. And you are saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace be upon you and Allah's rahmat. That is the niyat. For the person next to you are making niyat that peace and Allah's rahmat be upon you. And for everyone you are making. And actually, the whole community is supposed to be here for all the males. So we're making niyat for all of them. For all. And so we make niyat for the kiram and katibin. Which side the Imam is, we make his niyat. If he's directly in front, both sides we make his niyat. And then, for all who are present in the namaz, both sides we're making their niyat. And the farishtas also are present. And the jinnat also. Allah have brought us through namaz that you are now in a position that you are making dua of peace and salamati and rahmat for the kiram and katibin who are the malaika. What a great thing. Namaz is that will elevate a person. Allah Ta'ala by salah will elevate a person and make him so high. If we really just make namaz correctly. One time, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali wrote to his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that I fear that on Qiyamah's Day, that I won't have two rakats of namaz that will come out correct. That I made them properly. Hazrat replied and said, I fear that not one of my sajda will be correct by Allah. One Buzurg says that I fear not one subhanallah of mine will be correct. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, as long as you got the fear that my namaz is not correct, that namaz is a good namaz. The day you feel I made a perfect namaz, that is your worst namaz. That is because nobody can fulfill the rights of Allah. So anyway, when we make salam, then we should look on our shoulder. So all that I explained. And I said the barakat of this is the namaz, the whole of namaz. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Will stop you from all fahsha, bad, evil, shameless things. And munkar, all forbidden things. Namaz will protect you. So if you will do this, your eyes, you control them in namaz. Out of namaz, wherever you are, you can be in the shopping malls, you can be at the airports, you can be in the bank, wherever, your eyes will be under control. That got finished, it wasn't a related subject to marriage directly also. So after 2 months, one person phoned me, he's still living, Allah give him shifa, he's quite ill now, very, very strong Jamaati worker, and lot of khidmat of buzurgs he should do. And he phoned me, he said that, I had this weakness of mine, that my eyes were not under control, looking at other women. And I was so concerned, he had taqwa in him, fear of Allah. So he said, I made a second nikah, just so that my eyes can be under control. I don't look around to any other woman. But he said the same, it persisted still. But he said, since I practiced this 2 months, now 100% my eyes are under control. So, and this is a mustahab of namaz, or at the most a sunnah, that where you focus your eyes. If that can, and a person who his eyes are under control, only he knows what enjoyment he gets. And once your eyes, you are not looking at other women, Allah makes your wife the most beautiful in your eyes. And when we are looking at other women, your own wife has got no appeal for you. You don't get enjoyment looking at your wife. You don't get fun looking at your wife. And you, unfortunately, in haram you get enjoyment. Looking at other women you get, and a person whose taste buds are, imani taste buds are gone so bad, that you're getting enjoyment in haram. And in halal you don't get any enjoyment. And your life in this dunya already has what it has become. As one buzurg said, that if your iman cannot save you from haram in this world, how will that iman save you from the fire of Jahannam in akhirat? So if our namaz can't save us from this thing, what will that the namaz deliver for us in the akhirat? So namaz, we have to try and do it. So every posture has got great benefits. And this is not the object at all. Physical benefits also. Ulama have written that when a person makes salam, and salam is not just a slightly turning to the head to the right, but you turn it fully and look at your shoulder. In order to look on your shoulder, you have to turn your head fully. And that exercise is the best exercise for the heart. For heart problems, and a person who has got heart problems, just doing the full salam. And so many times in the day, all the namazes that we have to make salam, that is a perfect exercise. One of our good friends, Allah grant him jannah, he had developed back problem. He went to a physiotherapist, a non-Muslim. So he said, I'm surprised you, I know you, you are regular, you pray regularly. And he says, I know how you people have to pray, how you have to go in sajda from the standing position. We don't bend down and go in sajda, but keeping your back straight, and then you go down, and then you make sajda. He says, that posture, you will never have back problems. If you do that exercise daily, you'll never have back problems. So this we should do. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah. Our namaz, if we really correct it. And before namaz is wudu. In wudu, if we also do wudu properly. Especially no talking and no wasting of water. Today, unfortunately, by and large, all of us make water wudu under the tap. We don't use a lota or we don't use a mud. So how much of water gets wasted? And that definitely has an effect on our namaz then. We want our namaz to be of concentration, but the, and unfortunately, even if it is under the tap, how many of us, we open the tap much more than what is required. How much water we require that flow. Allah reward the mutawallis of many masjids, they put that what gadget like the water sprinkle. So you use less, but it appears more with the sprinkle. But even so, don't use more water than what is required. And best is whoever gets tawfiq to use the mud and making alive a sunnah and then see the effect of your namaz. Otherwise, whole life we can try, but the foundation is wrong. Our wudu is our foundation. If that is wrong, how is the building going to come right? And the other thing is talking in wudu, which is also a big problem. Now at masjids, normally we find the wuzus are a bit away from the masjid, the wuzu khana. But previously, the wuzu khanas used to be sort of attached to the masjid. And the amount of noise that used to come from the wuzu khanas, in the masjid that noise used to carry. And it should come so much of noise. So if you are talking in wuzu, you can forget you're going to have concentration in namaz. If we are talking of worldly things, unnecessary things, what is a bit necessary is different. And some of us, as we read in the kitab, heard now that the stalking and just blabbering, talking, some of us just can't stay away from that. It kills the heart also. It takes away all the fear of Allah also. But even in wudu, adhan time we talking. And not ordinary people, big people. And not softly, loudly, we are the person. Usually we laugh at some people when they're talking on the phone as though they are talking to the person in that country and they are shouting here. And the phone will carry your voice. You don't have to shout. And you're not speaking. Your voice is going to be amplified and reach that person. But here we find, sadly, good people standing next to one another and talking loudly. And why loudly? Everyone is talking there. So everyone feels, I must speak loud so that my this person... If you have to speak, just a little bit, and what is necessary. And especially adhan, when adhan is going to, what was that great emergency that you hit to urgency? An important thing that you hit to discuss it while... If it's a matter of death and life, some very important thing is understood that at that time you make the announcement, you speak. But what is so important? And everyone is just speaking. Allah Ta'ala guide us. And again, I'm speaking of those people who come to the masjid, not those who are not coming. This is our condition here. And we disrespect the masjid like this. And we disrespect the adhan. And we expect him, we're planting weeds. And we are expecting roses to grow. It doesn't happen ever that you plant weeds. Nobody in the first place plants weeds. Weeds grow on their own. But we are planting weeds and we are expecting the goodness of Islam. And why we are not getting results? Why I'm having problem with my rosie? Why I'm having problem with my wife? Why I'm having this problem, that problem? We have to fix our deen up. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, beginning of 18th Supara, that those believers have already, in the past tense Allah says, have become successful. And the Arabic language is a very rich language. For success, there are many, many words. The word falah, it is this word, every type of success is in this word. Whatever kind of success, your health, your wealth, your dunya, your akhirah, whatever you can think of. The Muazzin also says, Hayya alal falah. Come towards that success, all of your success is in there. And that is in the masjid. The masjid hasn't got virus yet. The masjid hasn't got other thing. It's not your success. Allah is letting the muazzin call out at the top of his voice and tell all, come for your success here. So it won't be, na'uzubillah. Allah is calling us for success and then giving us problems in the masjid. This is a different thing if we don't make our substrate. And we leave gaps in. And now, if we leave gaps, One millimeter gap also from the person next to you, shaitan comes in between. And now we're leaving 1 meter gaps, half a meter gaps, shaitan is coming with his whole kumba, his whole family, his whole tribe is coming now. And now he's polluting our mind. And in namaz he's urinating in our minds also. And we are doing all this wrong thing. When the shaitan comes and is standing in between us, so we make our saf straight. We stand taraso. It's not just to stand shoulder to shoulder. Properly joined, the shoulder must be joined to the shoulder. You must feel the next person's shoulder also. And if there's 1 millimeter gap also, shaitan is going to come in between. So if we do all that, then we are spoiling our namaz. And now, when if we are not standing in a straight line, not shoulder to shoulder, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then Allah will cause division in your heart. Allah will cause disunity. And what we say, be united we stand. Stand united. But we enforce disunity, that you must stand separate. And we are bringing shaitan in to cause more disunity, to make us fight with one another. And we are saying bring unity, but we are putting all the seeds of disunity. So it doesn't work like that. So our steps also we must make straight and stand properly shouldered. Not so much also that a person is now cramped up in his namaz and he's not comfortable. No, comfortably, but shoulders must touch one another. So if we do that correct, we see the barakat of it. So our wudu also, there should be no talking and no wasting of water in the wudu. And if we want to, just for our little experience, try it. When we make wudu in a basin, like normally we do at home, just plug it and see after your wudu how much water you use. And then just see the mood. How much in so much water I was supposed to make wudu and how much have I used. And when this israf and waste is in wudu, then what can we expect of our namaz? And especially how many of us adjusting the water, that takes us so long. Especially when it's the two separate taps, the hot and cold water. Now is a more easier way with the lever, the water gets adjusted easily. But with the two separate taps, just adjusting it, how lot of water we waste. And some people, Allah make maaf, while making miswak, one great good deed, and the water is running there all the time. And not a little flow, but almost full, the tap is open. And then talking also, doing one great good deed, having some vitamin tablets, etc., at the same time eating some poison also. How can that two opposites go together and give you any goodness? So Allah give us, so make our wudu also properly. And before that is istinja. Istinja also we should learn the etiquette of istinja. And istibra, in our time use a tissue paper to cleanse ourselves, to remove the last and final drops. Islam teaches this length of hygiene. We are going to be washing with water, but Islam encourages use this tissue paper. Actually, if we can, use the mud cloth the chemicals which are in there are very, very healthy for a person to make the istibra. But if not, use the tissue paper, and that also don't waste tissue paper. Don't block the toilet. We put so much of tissue and so much of tissue roll in there and we block the toilet. No, how much is it required? So much. And then when you get properly clean, otherwise you're standing, these people who stand at urinals and urinate and the drops of urine are not even finished still. They are still dropping. They just close up again and that urine drops in their trousers. When they do number two, and they don't use water, and they regard themselves as very clean. But what they did actually was only polishing themselves with stool. It wasn't that they cleaned themselves. You use tissue paper also, you are polishing yourself with stool. And then they go into a bathtub, and to conserve water, save water, the whole family uses the same. And now all that filth is gone in there, and inevitably some of it enters in your mouth also. in your nose, your ears also, and they are regarded as clean people. Right? One time, one friend of ours told us in Wombat, Bella Bella, where they have this natural hot water, that an old granny of 60 years came, he's got an outfitter shop, and she said, "Bhai, bikini oito Danny, if you got a bikini, sell me a bikini." He said, "Nani ma, 60 years, you want a bikini?" She said, "They're not allowing you to go in the public pool without a bikini." And he says that because that public pool water, they test, they live there, so they know, customers come and the workers. So they said that they tested the water, and that water had 60% of urine in it. It was just shining blue and crystal clear with all the chemicals. But it had 60% of urine. And we go into all these places. Our holidays, our resorts we go, we don't know in what filth and dirt we go. We go to a self-catering resort, and that same place, yesterday they ate pork in that place. All haram they ate, and today we brought halal food from home. But that plate is cleaned, it's washed, there is no masala about it. It is 100% permissible, but our consciousness, our morality, our consciousness, that they, in that plate they ate, in that bed were lesbians last night, and today we sleeping with our wife. There were homosexuals in that bed, and the linen is cleaned, it's washed everything, and we bring our linen from home, but still the effects are there. So anyway, with wuzu also, we should use water as sparingly as possible. It should not be really a need in our wuzu khanas, use water sparingly, etc. Every mu'min should be trained like that. And at the same time, and we flush our toilets, now also they got a system where much less water is used. But previously, 10 liters every time you flush your toilet. And you just urinate it, you flush your toilet, 10 liters gone. While in our continent, in our country, there are those people who are suffering for water. They will walk 5-10 kilometers to bring one drum of water. The poor woman will carry it on her head and bring it, and they have to use it like ghee, very sparingly. They have only got that little water what they can use, and we wasting water like that, just flushing the toilet all the time. And also, another thing, economically, water that we use from the municipality, they charge us, they got that, what you call that system, amount of liters you use, according to that. And you use more liters, it becomes more expensive. Use more liters, it becomes more expensive. And how much we are spending, wasting in water. It's unbelievable, the amount of water. We had a good friend, Haji Abdul Hay Kaula in Leslie. He was to visit him a few times, and he would, for his wudu, he would warm the water in winter in the electrical kettle. Not the geyser. His geyser used to be off. He had the geyser, but he should not even use it. Just if visitors come, there is a need for more water. But he says, "Me and my wife in the house, we don't need so much water what the geyser heats up so much. I warm the water in the electric kettle, even for bathing. And then we use a bucket to bath." His electricity also, he was so conservative, using it very conservatively. Many times the municipality came that, "Is he cheating? Is he robbing us? He's made some wrong connection," because so little he was using. They just could not understand. But that is how Deen. And how his mod came in the old Merkaz in Johannesburg, the old Merkaz. Mayfair Masjid. He got ill, and they were taking him out of the masjid. Just as they took him out, he said, "Take me back in the masjid." Came back in the masjid, he passed away in the masjid. So all these qualities have a great effect on a person. So anyway, namaz is that great thing. If we correct it, our lives will become correct. Our deen, our dunya will be corrected. Our akhirah, it's a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. We look at it only as a duty that now I'm a Muslim, I have to make, to be a good Muslim or to be a practicing Muslim, I have to make. No, it's a great gift that Allah has given us to solve all our problems, to bring Allah's great rahmat, Allah's protection. A namazi who makes his fajr with jamaat, Allah declares he's in my protection. And Allah dares anyone to interfere with him now. I have given him protection, like gangsters give protection to a person. A person who makes his fajr with jamaat, Allah gives that person protection. So namaz is a great gift, let us understand it, and with great enjoyment, passion, and make it like our hobby. A hobby a person enjoys, your best subject, your main thing which you like to do, let make namaz that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the coolness of mind, eyes, qurratul ayn, and that is proverbial, that means something which you just enjoy, which you just look forward to, Allah made it in my namaz. So if namaz can become for us like that, the thing that we enjoy, some of us food we enjoy, some of us our outings we enjoy, some of us our clothing we enjoy, namaz must be the thing of enjoyment. And then see how what life is and what Allah has given us. Allah give us tawfiq. We have got the short life and much more shorter Ramadan. Half is gone already. Let us work on our namaz. Make it a point that I must make my namaz correct. And I must improve and correct my namaz. And if we just get namaz also out of Ramadan, the gift of namaz, we have got everything. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.